I want to share a brief word that speaks of the unconditional love of a father. I want to say to the men that are maybe watching and those that are here under the sound of my voice, I want to say to the men of this house who serve so wonderfully, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, men, for serving the way that you do. You add strength to my life. And I thank you for that. Some years ago, I was introduced to a ministry called Christian Men's Network. It was Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole. This was before Promise Keepers and some of the other men's ministries. It was in the late 70s, the early 80s. The introduction of his ministry came at a point where I needed to be challenged in my manhood, challenged in my fathering, challenged as a husband, challenged just as a man of God. So I'm grateful for the church that I was a part of at the time, Rhema Christian Center, and now Apostle Lafayette Scales, who had and has vision for men. And so I'm grateful that in part I'm a product of that ministry and this ministry of Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, who I had the privilege to meet and in one gathering lead the worship. He wrote a book years ago called Maximize Manhood. Maximize Manhood. He made this statement, being a male is a matter of birth. Being a man is a matter of choice. He also made this statement, manhood and Christ likeness are synonymous. I don't want to spend really any amount of time on talking about where our culture is relative to men, but I want to talk to those of you that are here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching, and simply say to all of us men, being a man, being a father, being a husband, it's not about being perfect. But it is about being consistent, faithful, loyal, responsible, accountable, correctable, being willing to change and willing to grow. I know that's the journey of my life, and maybe it's the journey of yours as well. And he, our Heavenly Father, is not done with us yet. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. Because I think if he left me, I'd be so much less than what he intended for me to be. And if you agree with that, men, you can say amen. 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 So, men, I challenge you, even as I challenge myself and those that are watching. We must step into Christ-like manhood. Not what the world says a man is like, but what the scriptures say. Jesus is our model. Of a saving love, a healing love, a redemptive love, an unconditional love, In all that he modeled of the Father. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And while I think it goes without saying, yes, the ball has been dropped, the standard has been lowered. But this is yet one more opportunity to remind ourselves, men, that we must become Christ-like men and live out our lives truly making a difference, standing in the gap, one of the prophets writes and says, God looked all over for a man and said, but I couldn't find one. I want to challenge you to be the one that says, Lord, here am I. Send me. So all the men in the room, I want you to stand up right now. I want to pray over you. Those watching my live stream, you stand up too. Come on, guys. Whether you're a father or not, I want to pray over you. I want to speak a blessing and a charge over you. Almighty God, our God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your redeeming love, for saving us. We thank you for your grace to help us to change, to grow and to mature. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak over the men under the sound of my voice and those that may be watching by way of live stream. And Father, I pray that this would be a defining moment for each one of them, for all of us, that we first and foremost would commit our lives to you in a greater way. If we do not know you in the pardon of our sins, let this be the moment that we yield our lives to you. For those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, Father, I pray right now, and I pray surrendering all of ourselves to you right now, that your workings through your word, your workings through your processes would accomplish in each one of our lives that which you have intended. Now, Father, I pray for my brothers. I pray for the men here, those that are watching by way of live stream, that you would help us now. Help us to draw closer to you than we've ever been before, more yielded to you than we've ever been before, more committed to walking in holiness than that we've ever been before, helping us to walk upright before you in ways that we never have before, helping us to stand in the place for which we were born. Now, Father, I pray and I thank you that by the power of Holy Spirit, you are setting us free from strongholds. You're setting us free from bondages. You are setting us free from past things, oh God, that would try to hold on to us. I thank you that you're setting us free, and I command those things to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for healing. I pray for healing for wounds that go all the way back to childhood that have caused some of us to walk in places where we've never been able to arrive in the place you've intended because we're still walking with the woundedness in our childhood. I thank you right now for healing in the name of Jesus. Come on, men, just shout, I receive my healing. Come on, say, I receive my healing. Father, I thank you for setting us free from addictions and strongholds in the name of Jesus. I thank you for setting us free from habits and things that we've held on to, that this would be a defining moment. This would be a moment to turn and to shift, to break loose and to break free. Set us free from addictions. of drug and alcohol. Set us free from lust and pornography. Set us free from the things the enemy would want to use against us. Father, I pray that you would help us to be better fathers, better grandfathers, better brothers. Help us to be better sons. Help us to be better uncles. Help us to be better just all the way around. Come on, just say, God, I just want to be better in every way. Come on, say, I want to be better in every way. And Father, I thank you right now that you can redeem the time, and I'm asking you to redeem the time right now in our lives where it seems like time has been wasted. Redeem the time. I speak to the enemy of our souls who has robbed us, and I command you, return it now in Jesus' name. Return it now in Jesus' name. Return it now sevenfold. Return it now in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against you. Restoration, restitution. Restoration, restitution. Restoration, restitution. Restoration, restitution. Restoration in our families. Restoration in our households. Restoration and restitution. And we declare it to be so. And we thank you, oh God, for your faithfulness now. In Jesus' name. You agree with that, men of God, house, just shout amen. Amen. And lift up a shout of praise right now. Lift up a shout of praise right now. Lift up a shout of victory right now. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. I want to share just a brief word, a brief thought again. And this is not just in regards to Father's Day. This is a message for all of us to be able to grab a hold of. Yeshua and Brode said, hey. Be consistent, men. Be faithful, be loyal, be responsible, be accountable, be correctable. Be willing to change and be willing to grow. When I became a father, I knew nothing about being a father. And I thank God for mercy. And I thank God for grace. And if any of my children were here, they would jump up and call me blessed. Amen. So this is about a man with two sons. It's about a father with two sons. Luke 15, verse 11. Familiar passage, but I need you to hear it with fresh ears. I need you to see it with fresh eyes. I need you to not be dull of hearing. I need you to hear something in it for yourself. Amen. Luke 15, verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. How many of you would be willing to just be honest and say, I know that I've lived recklessly at times. His father gave him what was rightfully his. Our father has given us what's rightfully ours. Meaning when he created you, he placed on the inside of you gifts and talents and abilities and a call. But for years, I squandered it. I squandered it. I squandered it in clubs, on playing on stage, watching people drink their drinks and sway and move and dance to the music I was playing. I was squandering it. Now, I don't know how you squandered it, but I need to make this thing as real as possible. The resources that I had, I squandered them, Chris. And I don't mind telling you, I was enjoying some of the squandering. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. There were inklings, though, in it where you would kind of flash back into your right mind, which we're going to get to in just a moment. Your right mind being the mind of Christ. Now, I'm going to kind of segue this into renew your mind. I'm still not back to guard your heart yet, but just stick with me. There are seasons for all of us. We just aren't in our right mind. The right mind is the mind of Christ. Sometimes we are living out of the paradigm of someone else who sees something about us and they push us in a direction. I mean, just think about this guy. He leaves, he's got money, and he gets out there. And how many of you know that, what did you just drink? Okay, make sure I get energy drink. All right, you got another one? I'm sorry, I got off. Hallelujah, glory to God, I give you. I'm sorry, I like to have fun, y'all. I just felt that connection when she turned up that bar. Yes, I am. And I always will be. So this guy's out there. He's buying folks stuff. He's buying drinks. He's hanging out. He's having parties. He's throwing parties. You ain't got to pay for your drinks. I got it. It's an open bar, all of that. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You know? Because money can draw people to you. Giftings can draw people to you. So when he had all his money was gone, he couldn't buy a sandwich. He couldn't go to Popeyes. He couldn't go to Chick-fil-A. He couldn't do any of that. and nobody's treating him. He says, it says he couldn't even get, he couldn't even eat what the pigs were eating. What his father gave him was rightfully his. What the father has given you is rightfully yours. But the question is, and the choice is, how will you steward it? It says he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And then it says this, but when he came to himself, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? And then this is what he says to himself. This is what he's thinking. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And then he arose and came to his father. So I want you to understand how the enemy will get you thinking things that'll cause you to disqualify yourself when that is not what our Father is thinking at all. The life that he's lived, he knows he hasn't done well. He's recognizing that my father's servants are living better than me. With what I've done, I'm not even worthy to be called his son. But if he'll just receive me back like one of his servants, at least I'll get three meals a day and someplace to sleep. So in his mind, he disqualifies himself as being a son. It's not unlike Peter when he denied Christ. He disqualified himself. And so Jesus gave a special invitation when he told the women, go tell the disciples and Peter, meet me over here. Every now and then God will call you by your name. And I'm talking about we are all sons and daughters, but every now and then he'll say, Chris. Because he wants to connect with you and want you to know. He knows your name. He knows my name. So I need you to think for a moment, because oftentimes this is where we're at. We know that we've made bad choices and we've done wrong. We know that we're in a place and we're just trying to get back. But now we've got to work through the muck and the mud that's in our mind, in our thinking now. And all the while we're trying to work our way back, we're still dealing with the fact that I probably will never be seen as I was once seen. I'll probably never be received as I once was. But I'm still going to try to work my way back. And I want you to know, that the work of Calvary is so complete that you don't work your way back into the right place with God. The moment you accept Him, you are transformed, you are translated immediately, and you are no longer seen in that state of where you were, but immediately you're seen as that son, that daughter, that child of God. And what you have to recognize is what you're working through is what's in your head, not in his. What you're working through is what's found its way in your heart, not in his. Are you hearing me? Renew your mind. And he arose and came to his father. And I need you to get this picture right here. Never think for one moment that God's not watching. And what I want you to understand when I say that, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about through eyes of judgment and condemnation. I'm talking about through eyes of love. Yes. I'm so grateful that when I was still not ready to solely yield my life to Christ, he didn't turn his eyes from me. Matter of fact, he said, I'm going with you. See, when I was in those clubs and I had my bass on and I'm playing, he's whispering in my ear, I got more for you. I got more for you. I got more for you. And he arose and came to his father. And it says this, but while he was still a long way off, he sees us at what we feel to be the furthest time that we think we're away from him. See, the long way off is for you, not him. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now I want you to notice this, because all the while the father is showing love to him, a redeeming love to him. The father is embracing him, letting him know, I'm glad you're here. But he still has to navigate through his mind. He still has to navigate through what he already set up as the scenario. And I want to say to many of you under the sound of my voice, you need to delete the script that you think is about to happen. You need to be able to delete it, get rid of it, erase it, and be open to what God wants to do. Because all that boy needed to do, all that son needed to do, was just simply return and say, I'm sorry. But sometimes, because we think out of this place of being judged and now having to suffer some kind of consequences, we're quick to try to script the consequences. We're quick to try to maneuver it, shape it, so that we think we can handle it. It's kind of like that small child that knew he acted up, and he knows that when he gets home from school, he's going to be in trouble. So when he walks in the door, he just walks over to the corner and gets in the corner, like time out. And mama says, boy, what are you doing? I'm putting myself in time out, because when you find out what happened, I know you're going to want to do something. So I'm going to just go ahead and make it be this right here. It's like knowing that you're messed up. So before you come in the door, you go out in the backyard and grab some switches. But you make sure you get the ones that you think you can handle. all flimsy and everything. You bring them in. So often, we prepare ourselves for consequences that he has never ever thought that he would do towards us. This Father, our Father, has always believed for the best, is yet believing for the best. And when our Father looks at us, just like this Father looked at his son from a way off, he knows it's going to take a minute for him to get here. So instead of waiting for him to come to me, I'm going to run out and let him know it's okay. Because the longer it's going to take for him, the more the anxiety is going to build up, the more the fear that's going to build up, the more that by the time he gets to me, he's going to be in a state that he probably won't really be able to appreciate what my heart is for him. It says he ran out to him. His father felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And then his son said this to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." I want you to recognize what's happening right here, because this is how our Heavenly Father relates to you and I. He's talking to the Father and he's rehearsing to the Father what he's done. The Father is not even acknowledging it. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, you've removed my transgressions from me. This is the redeeming power of love. This is the redeeming power of love. Because so often many of us think we have to live in an assigned place because of either choices we've made, things we've done, things that we should have done but didn't do. And the Father is saying, "That's not how I see you. That's not how I desire to relate to you." This Father, he didn't even acknowledge what his son said. He did the same thing that David did concerning Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of John, the grandson of Saul. And David, out of the kindness of his heart, said, "Is there anyone left of the household of Saul that I can show kindness to on behalf of Jonathan?" Because he had a covenant with Jonathan. And the servant said, "There's one down in Lodibar named Mephibosheth." Lodibar was a dump heap. It was a refuge place. It was filthy. And David said, "Go get him." And when he got him, and Mephibosheth came, he was not unlike this son right here. "What's my father going to say?" In that case, is what the king's going to say. He probably wants to kill me. But when he gets there, Mephibosheth's mind again, here we are. His mindset was, "I am but a dog. What is it you would have? What is it you want with me?" And the scripture says, David didn't even acknowledge that at all. Because here's the reality. What David was doing for Mephibosheth had nothing to do with Mephibosheth, except that he was born in a line that out of covenant would produce blessing for him. You have been born in a line down through the generations that has produced a covenant.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said to Mephibosheth, all that was your grandfather's, now it's yours. In one instance, he went from being totally impoverished to totally wealthy. He said, from now on, you can have your meals at the table with me. Doesn't matter that you're lame, that you can't walk. When you sit under my table, nobody's going to ever know the difference. I hear God saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you sit at my table, no one will ever know the difference. The response of the father was, he said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Talk about restoration. Come on, shout restoration. Come on, shout redemption. Said, and shoes on his feet. And then he says, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. That's the love of a father. And that's the love of our Father who sits on the throne, our Father, God.